following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO. And, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. Episode 25 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. We are gearing up for the 2016 U.S. Olympic Team Trials to be held April 9th and 10th at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City, one of the most iconic buildings in the sport of wrestling, not just in the United States, but in the world. This show brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you have built. Want to thank Guy Seiko for his continued support of this program. Find more out about Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com. Today, we're going to be joined by our regular Dennis Hall, resident Wisconsin native, and knows a little bit about that Greco-Roman thing. Also joining us, our national team coaches in Greco-Roman, Matt Lindland, and women's freestyle, Terry Steiner. And I'm going to open up the floor to Matt Lindland, who is an Olympic silver medalist, now in his first Olympic cycle coaching the Greco-Roman program. And Matt, from a excitement standpoint, Carver Hawkeye Arena, we're talking about, like I said, one of the meccas of wrestling, an iconic arena. How stoked are you to have your Greco-Roman wrestlers perform on one of wrestling's biggest stages in one of the biggest events this sport has for the United States?
Well, I'm just excited that any time that there's eyes on our sport, and especially the style of Greco-Roman and freestyle wrestling, I think there's way too many eyeballs on the folk style age group events, and it's a chance to get to see the best athletes in our country compete. So I don't care where it is. I've only wrestled in that arena one time, and it wasn't a great experience. I lost to Tom Ryan in the first round of the NCAA. So it's not my favorite arena, but I know they're going to have a great crowd, and it's going to be an exciting event.
Terry Steiner knows this arena very, very well, having wrestled at the University of Iowa and, of course, coached the last time the trials were in the building in 2012. So, Coach Steiner, getting a chance to bring the women out into Carver Hawkeye in an arena you know very, very well. You know the fan base is going to appreciate the sport of wrestling. The benefits are obviously abundant for women's wrestling, but how amped up are you to have another trials in Iowa City for your women's team?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, you know, kind of like, man, it doesn't matter where it's at. I mean, it's an Olympic trial, and it's going to be exciting wherever it's at. But, you know, having it here in Iowa City is a special place for me, obviously, and a special place for wrestling. And so having it here is a great thing. I mean, I've talked a lot to the athletes about using it in the right way, you know, and a lot of people come in and they have a crowd like that in front of them, and they handle it in different ways. But you know, knowing that when you're coming in for the Olympic trials, I told them that when there's 15,000 people in the stands, they're not cheering for or against you. You know, they're really here to live through you, and it's such a special platform to be on the Olympic trials, vying for a spot on the Olympic team. That if they use that energy and soak it up the right way, it can really enhance performance. So I'm excited, and it's going to be a great event.
Dennis, you're world champion, Olympic medalist, and with the opportunity for, again, as we talked about with Matt and the Open, about Greco-Roman also getting this type of, this pinnacle, this platform to develop a sport. How excited does it make you to know that there's going to be a huge crowd in Carver Hawkeye and they're going to be paying attention to Greco-Roman wrestling?
It's great. Anytime you get more people seeing the sport, it adds value to it. You know, you may get one kid in that arena that decides that that's what he wants to do. So for me to have it in an arena where it's going to be pretty sold out is an experience for the athletes competing, because number one, in Greco, you rarely get to compete at a site like that. And number two, hopefully bring new fans to the sport.
Now, well, we're going to get to the athlete perspective right now. All three of you have experience competing in these situations. I'm going to start with Matt. When it comes to athlete preparation, this is your first time through as the national team coach in this cycle. What have you done to borrow from your own experiences as an athlete to relate this to the guys that you're coaching or the guys that are going to be wrestling and trying to make this spot for the first time? There's going to be a lot of guys that are going through it their first time, some their second, third, or even fourth time. But what experiences are you going to take from your career to prepare them for this stage?
Well, I think most importantly is that they're resting and recovered well, they're healthy going into this event. And they don't treat it any more special than any other event. I recently wrote a blog post on CoachMattMenlund.com there, and was talking about, you know, the sure way to not have success, which was, you know, be tense and not relax. I mean, you got to go out there. These guys are all prepared. They're all capable of competing at the highest level. But the only thing that's going to hold them back is themselves. If they make this too special an event in their head, they put too much stress and pressure on themselves. If they just go out there and relax and have fun and compete, they'll have great results from it.
Coach Steiner, going through this process as an athlete, and you've been the only coach that the women's program has had since it became an Olympic sport, what have you learned about preparing athletes and preparing your mind for the team that you're going to have in Rio from the first time through in 2004 to now in 2016?
Well, we don't have enough time to tell you what I've learned, but I've learned a lot. But I think the same thing as Matt said, you know, you can't, we all know it's an important event. You know, we all know what's at stake with it, but the process of it has to be the same. You have to get back to, you know, the nuts and bolts of how you win wrestling matches and how you prepare and you know, keeping that process simple and straightforward, I think, is key. And then just knowing that, you know, at an event like this, there's going to be a lot of emotion and you have to rise with that emotion. You know, a lot of your competitors and everything, they're going to come out with a lot of emotion. It means a lot. And you have to be willing to meet that excitement and that passion and that emotion. And so making sure that you keep the process the same, but be willing to rise with our emotion when we step on the mat. I think that's a huge thing.
Dennis, you've been working really closely with Ben Provisor, you know, really for a long, long time, and now he's trying to make his second straight Olympic team. What's been different in your mindset in coaching Ben and having the experience with him compared to 2012? Where is he different and where is he better?
Yeah, I think number one, he's a lot more open-minded right now. He's willing to try things, willing to put the work in that needs to be done. I mean, he's not taking any shortcuts. I'm excited to watch him compete this weekend because he's done what he's needed to do and looking for good things from him. I think the biggest thing I want to reiterate with him when I get down there tomorrow morning is it's one match at a time. Take care of the guy that's in front of you. Don't overlook anybody. And just wrestle 6 minutes at a time. And hopefully at the end of tomorrow, or Saturday, sorry, he'll be on a second Olympic team.
Talking about preparation with Matt and Terry, this is a little bit of a different scenario. When you're at overseas tours and you're coaching these athletes, Matt and Terry, you guys take a step back at this event and you're not necessarily actively coaching every athlete because you've got a team to build. And for Terry, your experiences here, how difficult is it for you to take a step back knowing that you work with so many of these athletes day in and day out and then you'll be like, you have to take a little more of a hands-off approach to this event?
Well, you know, I think it's difficult from a standpoint of, you know, there's such a finality to this event, right? I mean, for a lot of athletes, there's a finality to it. It may be the end of their careers, and it's for sure the end of their four-year cycle, you know, for some of them. And for the others, there's pure excitement and pure joy. And so I think the hard thing is just having to step back and really just hoping that, you know, they all have great performances and may the best person win. But stepping back and then just seeing that raw emotion, you know, that's what makes our sport so great. But it's also what makes it very hard at times. And so I think that's a hard thing. And for, you know, the trials are a very difficult thing, I think, to watch as a coach when you've had your hands on so many and involved in so many of their careers that you just see that raw emotion coming out. And that's you know, pure excitement for some and heartbreak for others.
Matt, with this being, again, we've reiterated the fact this is your first cycle here. How many conversations did you have with Steve Frazier, who's still in the office of USA Wrestling, about what he did during this process? Have you shared any insight with him or borrowed any ideas from the previous staff to be like, all right, how do you do and deal with what Terry kind of had just talked about?
I actually did yesterday. It was really the first conversation we had. But I think it would be very similar to last year's world team trials, as far as, you know, what my role is there. It's not to be in the corner and, you know, guide them through the process, but I think I'm still definitely there coaching them. You know, just being there shows the support, shows that, you know, I'm in their corner, even if I'm not standing there and sitting in the chair. But yeah, like Terry said, you know, there's guys that are, they're going to lose, they're going to win. And after they come off the mat, win or lose, I think it's important to just to be there and talk to them and let them know that, you know, where they're going as far as that. But as far as being on the mat, we don't need to be. We're just looking for the best athlete to make it through this process so they can represent the United States at the world level at the Olympics this year. And that's what we're looking for.
Dennis, this will be a little different for you because you actually went out on the mats in 2012 and tried to qualify again for another Olympic team. Now you're back in the chair. And what's it going to be like for you going into this process, knowing that you're not a competitor, even though you're a competitor in the corner? But as a coach, what's this scenario going to be like for you, and how are you preparing personally for it?
You know, I'm going to try and keep as quiet as I can. And just,
that won't happen. Let's just stop right now. That's not going to happen. You're not going to keep quiet. Come on, Dennis.
I got a guy that hopefully can get on the refs for me so I don't have to. But I just want the conversation to be between me and Ben and keep them focused, because the only thing that's going to, you know, that I feel will keep him off is if he loses it mentally, kind of, you know, the way I have in the past. I know that. So I got to keep him focused. And to me, he needs to just focus on the wrestling and scoring points. And that's my job in the corners, to keep his head on right so he can do that job. And, you know, it's tough as a athlete or a coach. There's always calls that go for you or go against you, and it's how you react with those calls that dictate if you're going to make the team or not. So there's a lot riding on it. And you know, every match there's going to be calls that go for you or against you as an athlete or as a coach. And I think the biggest thing we got to do is realize that, you know what, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what happens at the end of the match. Are we scoring more points than the other guy, and kind of block any distractions out for Ben, you know? And that's my goal as a coach. And I know that with certain calls, you get the video review, and, you know, sometimes the video review is evident that you're right, but still maybe the call doesn't get made. So it's keeping the mindset of the athlete as good as you can. And that's what I see my job in the corner as.
Now, Dennis, when it comes to the Olympic trials, they can't mention the Olympic trials without mentioning your grind match, the official grind match against Brandon Paulson back in 2004 in Indianapolis. You know, a lot of people regard that as one of the greatest Greco-Roman matches of all time, just because of y'all's relationship, the fight that went out there. I mean, his saying is love the fight. And you guys went out there and gave it everything you had. What is one thing that you still recall about the 2004 trials and just that gauntlet of one single match that you had to finish up with? You run in the stands, you hug your family. I mean, that was an iconic match in the world of Greco-Roman wrestling in this country.
I think the one thing that stands out in my mind is my emotion. I was so happy after scoring that last point, and I ripped I think Terry's head off, coming off the stands, flew off the stage and ran around, hugged the cameraman. And then I go look at Brandon Paulson, one of my really good friends, and I see him on the mat, just frustrated beyond belief. And I went over to him and hugged him and told him I loved him. And I said, I'm sorry, man. I had to do this. I said, you know, you got to keep your head up. I go, we gave the crowd the best match of the tournament. I said, you know, I'm sorry. And I meant it. And, you know, just I felt horrible at the same time as feeling great, which is kind of crazy.
Now, there's also a tie between Dennis and Matt on this. Is, you know, Dennis is coaching Ben Provisor, who had a controversial victory over Aaron Soracki at the Trials in 12. And Matt, of course, when we mentioned Trials and we mentioned Dennis Hall and Greco, you know, your career a little shrouded, a little bit of controversy that year with Keith Soracki and, you know, the brothers. It's like, oh, man, that family. But when you look at your experience and, you know, take the litigation out of it, what are some fond memories that you've got of the Olympic trials that really make this really an event that wrestling needs to embrace more? Thankfully, we've got it in Carver. There's going to be a ton of people there. But, you know, fond memories of the trials, you know, again, with that one little thing notwithstanding.
Well, I was there for Dennis's match live. I actually just reposted that. I post that match every year before the World or Olympic trials, just so people can be reminded of that great match with those two competitors. That was so much fun. But as far as this event, I think it's a chance for the athletes to shine and let the personalities come out and be recognized by a broader audience, because we do have more eyeballs on this event than we do, say, our nationals or during a world team year. The Olympics are special. It's a big deal. And it allows the fans to, even if they don't get to speak to and talk to, they get to know the personality. Just like Dennis said, you know, he came off that match, look at the emotions he had, and then look at what he did afterwards. He went over to his great friend and, you know, congratulated him, hugged him, and, you know, said, you know, hey, I had to do this. But you get to know the athletes by watching that. I mean, people know who Dennis Hall is and what kind of a character he is and what kind of man he is just from that one event, that one match. You get to see what a warrior was and what kind of a heart he also has. And I think we get to see that with all our athletes out here, what kind of heart they have, what kind of character they are. And there's some really incredible athletes in this field. Greco women's freestyle and the men's freestyle. They're all styles have incredible athletes, incredible people, and we get to know them and experience them.
Terry, as an athlete, your career didn't put you on that Olympic spotlight, but now you're in a situation where you have the opportunity to coach women. You've coached, you know, medalist Sarah McMahon, Randy Miller, Clarissa Chun, Patricia Miranda. We're looking for that first gold medalist. And what's it mean to you? How does it motivate you to be in a situation where you're coaching athletes to try to achieve greater goals than you achieved?
Well, I think that's what it's all about, right? I mean, you know, my wrestling career is done and over with, and it's trying to pass knowledge on so they don't end up in the same situation I did. You know, you don't want to have unanswered dreams, you know, you just don't want that. And you want to be able to achieve your goals. And so not having achieved that, you know, it's something that's, you know, always bothers you, you know, and it's always on your mind. And a situation like this, it you know, you just don't want it to happen to the people you're working with every day. You want them to leave fulfilled, 100% fulfilled from what they started years ago, and you're hoping you can have some influence on that. And so, you know, and then you live vicariously, right? Like everyone else. I mean, you're trying to get them to a point where they can stand proud forever, you know, and know that they were on top of the world at one point. And then, so I get great motivation from that, you know, and to see people achieve that is a great thing. And, you know, we haven't climbed that highest ladder yet at the Olympic Games, and it's time we get that done. And I think we have some people in place right now that can do that. So, you know, hopefully we can get that accomplished in 2016.
Of course, Adeline Gray and Hella Marula still have to actually go through the process and make the team, but both of them won world championships last year. Adeline has been dominant, 5 world medals, 3 world championships. And how much pressure are you taking on your own shoulders to get, as you said, the top of the mountain there, to get that first women's Olympic champion? It's something that's it's going to be unprecedented in the United States. It's never happened before. You know, how is that pressure, weighing on you?
It's not, I don't know if it's pressure, you know, I mean, it's how you handle it. It's something that we want, you know, and we don't need it. I mean, nobody needs this. This is something, you know, these athletes have started years ago, and they got in the sport because they love the sport of wrestling, and they fell in love with it, and they started accomplishing and achieving some goals through it. But, you know, if tomorrow came and they could never wrestle again, what they've got from the sport of wrestling, they've already won so many things. They've already succeeded in so many ways, and they've already got the fruits of what the sport really bears. And so, you know, going out to get this is something that you get, you know, you're going after because you want it. The pressure of it, no, we want it. We want it because we deserve it. We want it because, you know, we belong on the top of that podium, but, the pressure of it, no, I don't feel that, you know, I don't feel that, you know, it's about getting the best thing we can get and going about it in a way that has good process. And so that's how I look at it.
Well, there is pressure on all the national teams to get the weights qualified, and that goes into the next segment I want to talk about, and that's the timing of the trials for the collegiate wrestlers. We're less than a month. We're just a couple of weeks after the Division I championships in New York City. The world team trials are typically later, usually in May, early June. But this cycle, you've got to get the weights qualified for those that aren't there. And Matt, what are your thoughts on the schedule and having the trials in April and having the opportunity to get to those extra last chance tournaments to qualify the weights once the team has been set?
Well, I think it's awful. Next week, I'll be sitting in this airport a week from now on my way to Mongolia. I don't think we have an optimal time, but I don't know if there is an optimal time really, because there's so many events. But it would have been nice to have our team a little earlier, get these guys qualified before the. We should have done it at the qualifier in Texas. I mean, that was our best opportunity. We were prepared well. We had a great training camp going in there, and the athletes let what was at stake just weigh on them, and it was too much pressure. They competed very tight, very tense, and that goes back to that article I wrote after that event. And you know, I had a lot of great feedback. People said that was exactly what they needed to hear, but they can hear it, but they have to actually apply those principles. Terry talks a lot about the process, and he's such a great speaker. You know, he's talking about the love of the sport. You got to remember that when you're going into any event, why you're doing it, because you enjoy it. And if you're putting stress and pressure on yourself, it's hard to enjoy it. So, you know, the only thing I guess I never enjoyed was the weight cutting when I was wrestling 74 or 76. But that last year that I competed up at 85, that was probably the most fun I ever had in the sport of wrestling, because I had no pressure on me mentally, and there was no pressure physically, because, you know, I actually weighed in a kilo under for the world championships. So it is, you know, Dennis talked about, you know, protecting Ben from distractions and, you know, helping him deal with the pressure. It is all about how you handle this in your own mind. And there's so many great tools and so many great coaches out there to help these athletes. They just need to believe in themselves and remember why they're doing this, because they love the sport and go out and have fun. And that goes for the qualifier, the trials, everything.
Terry, I had the opportunity to go up to Canada for their Olympic trials in December, and you've got a pretty good relationship with the staff and the national team up north of the border. And they set their team in December, and then they've got their athletes set. Then they have to go through the qualifying process. They have a little bit more time. You know, what are your thoughts on how the Canadian system does it? And could we borrow that? I mean, are we looking at possibly having different trials, different times? I mean, what would be the optimal qualifying procedure to set the team for the United States if you take the three styles together out of it? I mean, what's the best scenario for the women?
Yeah, you know, we've already had some discussions on that, on how, you know, we could possibly look at this and change it for the future. But, you know, to think that, you know, Canada came in, you know, they had two qualified going into the Pan Ams, and they left the Pan Ams with all six qualified, you know, having their Olympic team already set. You know, I think that, you know, some things happen there for reasons, you know, and I think we have to look at it, you know, and I think it makes a difference some, even with the women's team. I think the team aspect of coaching women, I think probably means a lot more than to guys. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything to guys, but I think there is a little bit more emphasis on the team aspect. And I think we have to look at it. And I think we have to treat the women maybe a little bit differently in that sense. And so, yeah, I would like to, you know, I would like to have our team already set before we start any, you know, qualification process for the Olympic Games. I think, you know, going in to qualify a weight class is a lot different than going in to qualify your weight class. And I think there's a different purpose to it and a different energy to it. So, you know, it's a tough thing going from here to Mongolia. You know, we leave for Mongolia on next Thursday morning. But I think, you know, we're going to ride the excitement of them just making an Olympic team, and they're going to ride that over there. And I think we're going to have great results. So we have what we have right now, and we're going to make the most of it. I think down the road we can talk about and look at possible changes to what we may do down the road.
Dennis, a lot of the focus on what Matt's doing with Greco-Roman, and you saw this as an athlete, is pulling in the wrestlers from the college mats, getting more athletes involved in the Greco-Roman system. How important is it, do you think, with the scheduling situation, say, all right, we still have to be behind the college season to get these guys? I mean, some of them are chewed up and ground up from the grind that is Division I wrestling, but in order to have Greco bring in more athletes, we've got to have somewhat of a separation from the Division I, Division II, Division III NAIA Nationals. I mean, what are your thoughts on an optimal schedule, from a Greco-Roman standpoint?
It's just tough with all the qualifiers. I mean, you got the two qualifiers the next few weeks, and then, you know, we have our regular Olympic qualifiers this weekend. And for a college guy to be able to make a transition in Greco-Roman 3 weeks later than their college season is almost impossible, because time, you know, gut wrench defense, lift defense, and all the little things that they never focus on during the season. You know, I think we need to get more guys taking Olympic red shirt during this year, during the Olympic years. I think that's a big process. And then at that point, you could go with whatever time works best for the qualification process. But I think until we get more college guys to buy into how great Greco is, you know, it doesn't have much of an impact. And, you know, the sad part is there's a ton of college guys that could make an impact. You know, I don't know why more guys don't wrestle it during the off season. It boggles my mind. I mean, you have guys that are national champions in high school, you know, that never stepped foot on a mat again in Greco. And, you know, when reality is they could be the next world champ or next Olympic champion. And that's the tough part that drives me crazy. And I'm sure it drives Matt crazy, because we lose a ton of athletes to the college wrestling, and instead of losing them, we got to get those guys to buy in that it's going to make them that much tougher. It's going to make them meaner. They're going to be better athletes. And I think if we can do that, if we can get some of these top coaches to realize the benefits of Greco, it will make a difference in our international program.
Terry, you've got a unique situation because the Women's Collegiate Wrestling Association, one, it's all freestyle, so you don't have what you have in Division I and the NCAA and the men's side of things with going from folk style to freestyle or folk style to Greco. And the women's collegiate schedule, their national championships are over late January, early February. How much of a benefit is their college schedule on the women's, the WCWA, work for the national team and these Olympic and world team trial cycles?
Well, it definitely helps us a lot. I mean, it's far enough removed. We're wrestling the same style, you know, it definitely helps us. There's no doubt about it that having our college system freestyle instead of folk style is definitely a huge benefit for us. And we understand that as well. And so, you know, and then, you know, then they have the season ending a little bit earlier. So there's a little bit of time to regroup from that, you know, week in, week out competition. And now they, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they had the University Nationals. So they, a lot of them made the University World Team or, you know, vied for those spots. And then a couple of weeks later, now the Olympic Trials. So, you know, there's some good separation there and leading it and some building leading into this. So I like it how it is, you know, and just know too that there is no perfect process, right? I mean, you know, we talk about our issues and how our schedule is, but, you know, the European qualifier is next weekend, you know, a week before Mongolia. So that, you know, they have issues too that they're dealing with. So there's no perfect process and, you know, we'll go with what we have and we'll make the most of it.
Matt, Dennis touched on this a little bit about recruiting and retention and bringing people into Greco. This has been one of the things that you've tried to do since you came on as a coach. And how is that process like? I mean, we've got guys like Kamal Bey and Giangelo Hancock who have come in right out of high school and been there at the training center. But what's it been like for you to try to get to these college coaches and bring more guys with, as Dennis said, you know, they might have been national champions in Fargo and Greco to really fill out the ladder in Greco-Roman?
Difficult. I think Dennis explained it. It's difficult. I mean, I know from experience when I was wrestling collegiately at Nebraska, it was, yeah, you can go to the universities, you can go to the junior trials, but you need to wrestle freestyle. Oh, you can wrestle Greco, but that's the next day. And so you know, you can wrestle up at that one. And so I won two national titles in freestyle before I ever won one at Greco just because of that process. And that's where all the time in the room is spent. That's where they feel is important. And we do have to change that. So for us to change our system, we're still, even if this is after the NCAAs, this is on that schedule, and we're still not getting any of those qualifiers, the athletes that qualify. They're either too tired, too beat up, too wore down, or they don't feel like they're prepared enough to come compete in this event. I know we say wrestling's wrestling, but you know, they can be in great shape and physical shape, but if you're not prepared to defend on the bottom, you're not prepared to get to that body in Greco, you're not going to have a lot of success. And I think these athletes are aware of that. And I think they feel, well, this is close enough in freestyle. At least it looks similar to them. So they feel like they can transition a lot easier. So we still need to recruit. We still need to get the best athletes out of the system. You know, every weight class, there's only one guy that's going to make a world or Olympic team. And there's a lot of talent in our pool, in our college system. But we can't rely just on that because, you know, you look at guys that you're hoping that you get back in 4 or 5 years after the college systems, you know, use them up and beat up their bodies. You think you're going to get them back. So you've got to also start recruiting your younger athletes, your Kamal Bays, your Tracy Hancocks. Nick Boykin was a double champ last year in Fargo. Jordan Martinez is retired from high school wrestling. Colton Schultz is a freshman in high school. He pinned everybody in the first period of his state tournament. What else does he have to prove in high school wrestling? He's done it. You know, he at 100 kilos, you know, he was pinning, you know, seniors in the first period. So he's done. He doesn't need to wrestle high school anymore. He can focus purely on what his goals are. His goals are to win world championships at the cadet levels, then junior levels, and then win an Olympic gold medal. And I think if athletes really have those aspirations, they have to look at what is the most direct path. And sometimes that direct path may not be the traditional path, which is high school, college, international wrestling. I think we've seen it. We've seen the model be successful with guys like Henry Cejudo, Kyle Snyder. We've seen that it works, and we need to encourage that for our best athletes. Sure, the rest of the guys can go wrestle in college and develop because they need that experience. They need those matches. But our most talented, our brightest stars need to consider that other path, that alternate path.
Yeah, as you mentioned that, I was going to point out the high school age competitors. Of course, Aaron Pico still high school age. He would be a senior if he wouldn't have foregoed the rest of his high school career. Mark Hall, spent a lot of time at the Olympic Training Center. He came back this year to Minnesota to try to win his sixth individual title and sixth team title. So there's different goals, but you know, you see those two guys, Mason Manville, and you know, has really said he loves Greco-Roman. He was going to forego his senior year and then decided to come back. He's still qualified. And on the women's side, you got two high school seniors, Tashia Allo and Rachel Waters. And Terry, I want to touch on those two women first, because in the past,
let me touch on that real quick, Jason, because you have all this pressure from hundreds of coaches across the country telling these athletes that they need to get the education, and that's the only way you can do it. You can wrestle Greco and still go to school. I didn't know if people were aware of that, so I just wanted to make that point clear.
Absolutely correct. So circling back to Terry, as far as the depth of like women's wrestling, when women's wrestling became an Olympic sport in 2004, you look at the national teams and you look at the athletes on there, and you had high school girls really scattered throughout. Now the depth has improved so much that now you've got to be a super really elite high school age wrestler to really break into a national team. You're seeing two wrestlers like that with Tashia and Rachel Waters. And Tashia has won a number of junior titles, a cadet world title. I mean, she won a Fargo title a week after she won a cadet world title. I mean, it was the same week, and she came back and did it. And when you see the lack of high school wrestlers now on that national team ladder, that's I guess, a case study in depth. And then you have these superstar high school athletes in there. What's that mean for the development of women's wrestling? That, you know, gone are the days where you had a ton of high school wrestlers being able to compete with the senior level. Now it's just a select few.
Well, it's starting to show that we have some depth, right? That our system is working a little bit. There should be some separation between our cadet and our junior and our junior and our senior programming. I mean, there should be, if our system is working, there should be some jumps in there and some separation. And then, you know, some girls like Waters and Allo, I mean, they're just some, you know, just some very, very talented athletes that are performing at a high level. And so you're going to have those people every now and again. But I think overall, I think, you know, we moved from four weights to six weights, and I think we have more depth in six weights than we had in four, you know, and it just shows how the whole landscape has changed within our sport. And then it's really across the globe, you know, I mean, before we've had everyone qualified by this point, you know, and now we still have four weights to qualify. I mean, we have a lot of work to do yet. And then, so it shows the level of the wrestling across, you know, across the sport and how it's risen up over the past years.
Now, as we wrap up, as everybody's either in airports in Iowa City or preparing to drive to Iowa City like myself here, as we finish up with episode 25, I want to leave the door open. Matt Lindland, final thoughts as we prepare for the World Team Trials. What are some things that you're looking for specifically that you should think the fans should pay attention to as we get set for this great weekend of wrestling?
I'm looking forward to these athletes going out there and taking some chances and scoring points. You don't win matches unless you score points, and you know, go out there and take risks, be exciting, and you know, put on a show and have fun.
Dennis Hall, your turn. Same question.
Pretty much the same answer as Matt. Go out there and look to dominate. If you're looking to dominate, you ain't leaving it in the ref's hand. So go out there, have fun, and put on a show.
And Terry Steiner, final thoughts, your form here.
Well, I think, you know, just like we talked about with Dennis and Brandon, I mean, legends in the sport are made from moments, you know, and moments like they had, you know, back in their Olympic trial when that was that epic match. And, you know, we're still talking about it years later, and those moments are made in, or those people are made in moments like this. And so you hope that this weekend brings that, you know, that you have some great moments and people are performing all at a high level, and let the best person win. You know, at the end of the day, the best person wins, but you hope that there's great competition to get to that point.
We'd like to thank our guests, Dennis Hall, Matt Lindland, and Terry Steiner, as we prepare for the U.S. Olympic Team Trials, April 9th and 10th, Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tickets still available. Get them at iowacitytorio.com. And I'd like to thank you for listening to episode 25 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast.
show is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.